When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. We are about 49 hours away from kickoff in Landover. The weather, 29, 30 degrees, sunny, some wind. Not as windy as it will be tomorrow when this real cold air gets ushered into our area for the next few days heading into the holidays. Sunday will be the coldest day, but at least no precipitation, but for, you know, not even close, will be the coldest game of the year and the coldest game that Jaden Daniels has ever played in. All right, my keys to a win over Philadelphia. The Skins beat the Eagles if. Number one, I've talked about this week, but you have to offensively be ahead of the sticks. Good down and distance offensively. Philly is the number two third down defense in the league, in part because they are very good defensively on first and second downs. They are also just very good on defense overall. You know, we had our guest from the PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the insider Dave Sperato, yesterday. And the way he was describing the defense is exactly what we've seen as fans from, you know, outside of Philly watching them. They are fast, they are physical, and every player is high motor and just relentless chasers of the football. Like, they really are good defensively. That's the strength of that team. AJ Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts, they're all good players. Philadelphia is at times explosive, and at times they're pedestrian offensively. Defensively, they're the best in the league right now with the way they're playing. They've got the best players. They've got the best defensive coordinator, and they play with incredible energy and high motor. If you are in second and third and long, you're done. You got no shot. How do they stay in good down and distance? Quick game, please, lots of it. Effective runs with the quarterback included. You know what they did against Tennessee, right? When they had 12 third and threes or shorter. And they did that because they were able to run the football. They were able to run the football with all 11, the quarterback involved. They were able to, you know, get quick game going, get the ball out to some of their playmakers. I know they're missing some from the last time they played Philadelphia. I personally would like to see less pullers, you know, less guard tackle, guard center pulling. I think Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Zach Bond are just too disruptive. And we already saw last week that some of those plays got blown up. There were a lot of TFLs last week. The Ravens with Lamar and Henry were able to run the football, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, a month ago, against the Eagles. So that's kind of the last example of a true dual threat, against Philadelphia since Washington played Philadelphia the last game. This is number one on my list. You've got to keep ahead of the chains because that gives you the best chance of possessing the football. If you're in second and 12, if you're in third and 8, third and 9, third and 10, I think this is going to be a long day. Now, I say that, and there's always, with this quarterback, the caveat that he can bail you out of a lot. You know, you could be in third and 12, and he can figure out a way to extend a play and make a throw, or extend the play and make a run. And we saw that several times last week. So there's always that possibility. But, man, the Tennessee game is kind of the blueprint for game management offensively. Staying ahead of the chain so that you can convert on third down and keep the football. That leads to scoring opportunities when you get to the red zone, if you can do that. And that's where Washington has to excel. They've got to be plus in the red zone. When we look at the box score, you know, after the game, Washington's got to be 2 for 3 and Philadelphia's got to be 1 for 3. Or Washington's got to be 3 for 4 and Philadelphia's got to be 2 for 4. That you've got to score touchdowns when you get there. Philadelphia is an excellent red zone defensive team. Washington is a bad red zone defensive team. So that plus minus in red zone comparison, I think, will be huge in the game on Sunday. Number three, this is the cliche, don't beat yourself, but turnovers are going to matter in a big way on Sunday. I think Washington's got to be plus one or better to beat this iteration of the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are better than they were when they faced Washington on Thursday Night Football. They just are. They're better defensively. They're a better football team. Washington didn't necessarily lose that game because they were minus one in the turnover category. Remember, that turnover came when they were already down by 2 scores in the fourth quarter. But they were 3 for 12 on third down in that game. They were 1 for 2 on fourth down, and Philadelphia had a 7-minute time of possession advantage and a 9-play advantage overall. Washington has to be on the plus side of possessions so that, you know, evens out. You don't want Philadelphia with 8-9 more plays in the game. Third downs, you know, that's the down and distance thing, and then converting on third downs to stay on the field, and that means gaining a possession or two with a plus in the turnover margin category. I think they've got to be plus one or better to win Sunday. It might be plus two or better. Next up, defensively. You know, they did a pretty good job on Philadelphia in the first half. It wasn't the worst game. In fact, you know, looking back at kind of my notes from the Philadelphia game, one of the things that I liked is I thought that their first half defense was pretty good. You know, the Eagles really self-destructed in that game with 2 missed field goals, a couple of penalties, a couple of dropped balls. Remember, they had that badly timed flea flicker when they were actually moving the football. The defense stood up pretty well in that game. Frankie Louvu was big. He was the one that disrupted and totally messed up the flea flicker opportunity. They held Barkley in that first half to 3.7 yards per carry. You know, Philly's offense overall in the first half managed just over 4 yards per play. Now, how did they do it? They loaded the box. You know, they loaded the box in that game, and they took risks on the back end without Marshawn Lattimore. But in that first half, when they did that, the coverage didn't suffer as much as maybe you would have expected it to. I thought, you know, in that moment, it was a sign that the defense had improved. Of course, things got ugly in the second half in particular. You know, I know that people go back to that game and they say, you know, it was really a tremendous defensive effort, but what happened was they just got tired late and it broke down. Well, Philadelphia scored on every single drive they had the ball in the second half, like the Saints did last week. You know, the only reason people said about that game is that, yeah, they were great through three quarters, is that Philadelphia had two super long drives that took the game into the fourth quarter. Yeah, they scored 20 points in the fourth quarter, but that's because they scored three, and then their second drive started in the third quarter and ended in the fourth quarter with a touchdown. They did not get off the field once defensively in the second half, but in the first half, they were much better. They've got to, with Lattimore, I think, load the box again. Or the flip side, the alternative would be to play some bend, don't break, and try to hold up in the red zone. Remember, Jake Elliott missed two field goals in the first half of that game. He missed one on their opening drive, and he missed one midway through the second quarter. That was huge as to why Washington had a halftime lead and was able to take a 10-6 lead into the fourth quarter. But somehow, they've got to, you know, pick whichever poison you're going to pick. You know, are we going to load the box and say, Jalen, throw to A.J. Brown against Lattimore, against San Ristill, however they play it coverage-wise. Throw to Devontae Smith. You know, throw to Goddard. Throw to Gainwell out of the backfield. Throw to Barkley. Throw to Jahan Dotson. If you're wondering what Jahan Dotson has done since, by the way, the first catch of the game, remember, against Washington for 8 yards, he's caught a total in their last four games of 5 balls for 16 yards. He's not a big factor for them at all. But defensively, if you load the box, it's got to pay off for you by stopping the run. If you don't load the box, you can't give up the big play, and then you've got to really hold up in the red zone. I don't have a lot of confidence in the defense, but I also recognize that Philadelphia can be inconsistent offensively, and they're not super dynamic. They're not super complex. Kellen Moore's offenses aren't. And then, you know, two more things in how they beat the Eagles. Number one is you've got to recognize that Philadelphia is a four-down offensive team. So you've got to be successful in creating third and more than twos, right? You know, you can't leave them on the field near, you know, plus territory. And that can be, you know, at their own 40 in third and two or shorter, because they're going to stay on the field and they're going to tush push their way to a first down. So you got to, you know, you got to get stops on first and second, and then, you know, have a third down that, you know, doesn't end up in fourth and one. You know, that's big too. When you do put Philadelphia into third and longs, they'll check it down and try to get close enough to go for it on fourth down. They're not always looking to pick it up. You know, they're not always looking on third and six to pick up all six, or third and nine to pick up all nine. They're looking to just get within range of being able to go for it on fourth down. And then lastly, man, we got to have a kicker that can make kicks. Red zone percentage is big in this game, but when you get in scoring position against this Philadelphia team, you can't miss. These are losses of possessions, essentially, because some of the misses come from long enough range where you give them field position to start. Whether it's Gonzalez or Greg Joseph, enough of the missed field goals already. You got to pay the. Some of these drives have ended disappointingly, but not because of the offense.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks. Their kicker, Jake Elliott's had a rough year for him. And so, I mean, we know from that first game. So being, you know, perfect on your own field goals and having them miss one, just like in that, you know, area of red zone plus minus, that'll be huge. I think they have a chance. I really want Zach Ertz for this game. I think he's really important. I know there's no chance of Eckler, clearly. He would be the most important of the missing pieces. He would give you a chance that you had in some of the drives you had in that first game. But without Ertz, That's a big concern. I mean, Sinnott, Bates, you need more than just Terry and Brian Robinson Jr. and Jaden. You need somebody else. But I do think they have a chance. We'll have predictions at the end of this hour. Denton, what are your keys to a win over Philadelphia?
Well, I mean, well, first and foremost, you know, containing Saquon Barkley, it was just announced Dan Quinn spoke. He was speaking as you started giving your keys. John Allen, despite practicing in a regular jersey today, not going to play. So that is a little bit of a miss, but also the expectation wasn't that he was going to be good to go. I actually think they did a really good job in that first matchup of handling Saquon Barkley until those final big runs at the end of the game. So whatever they did in that capacity worked. Offensively, the key is run the football, but you got to execute. It was Jaden's worst game of his NFL career. I think the caveat is it was on four days worth of preparation, so you can kind of give a little bit of an out maybe in that regard, but there's no out this time. You've had 7 days. You've seen this team before. They got to go out there and execute. Hopefully, Zach Ertz is going to be good to go. Obviously, you have a little bit of a loss when it comes to the skill position guys there. So you need as many guys as possible. If Zach Ertz is good to go, I think if they can run the football better than they did in the Thursday night game and utilize Jaden's legs better than they did in the Thursday night game. We are still at that point of the season where is his rib bad? Is his rib not bad? We know for sure right now his rib's fine. You know, his vision that he had in New Orleans was awesome. The vision that he had against Tennessee when running the football was awesome. Let's see a little bit of that. Let's utilize Jaden's legs in a maybe more of an RPO kind of function. No quarterback powers, please. None of those. Don't need any of those. But I think running the football and executing on offense is going to be crucial if they want to beat a team that's as talented as Philly.
Remember, they tried a couple of those design quarterback runs against Philadelphia, which is why, you know, when we had the discussion about the people that were convinced that he was hurt, I'm like, well, then that was complete and utter stupidity if they were running him into piles as an injured player. You know, you mentioned, you know, the Barkley thing. It depends on how they play him. You know, if they play him like they did the first game and they load the box, then you can't have him run against a loaded box. And they did a good job in the first half. But if you switch it up and decide, you know, we're not giving up. We'll give up between the 20s, but we're going to try to be, you know, really strong in the red zone. I don't think they'll play it that way, and they didn't the first time, and I don't think I would do it that way. But that's going to be so interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see how they play coverage behind the loaded box. The other thing, too, about Jaden's first game, and it's a really good point, it was his worst game by far. I give him a pass and gave him a pass because it was 4 days of prep after a draining game against Pittsburgh. The Eagles came in basically off of a bye against the Cowboys. Remember, they were resting their starters for much of the third and fourth quarters. And you had to face and prepare for this team and the best and one of the most creative and one of the most tricky in terms of confusing young quarterbacks, defensive coordinators in the game in Fangio. I remember after that game, I was critical of Cliff Kingsbury. I thought there should have been more quick stuff. I thought they should have stuck with the run a little bit more. I thought they looked confused. And, you know, one of the things Philly can do, and this is a luxury that few teams have, they can rush four and drop seven into coverage because the four they got rushing are really good. They can play four and seven in coverage on early downs because those four can stop the run. When I went back to that game and looked at it, some of the sacks, you know, and some of the big blowups weren't with extra man pressures. Philly's defense is really good right now, but we got a really good quarterback too, and we got an excellent receiver. I think Ertz is big in this game. If he can play, you got to have that veteran big target for the quarterback against this defense. All right, we'll hold off predictions, I guess, until the end of the show.
Yeah, we got to make the people wait for them.
I got my smell test next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.